It's been more than a month since Typhoon Haiyan tore through the Philippines, leaving a trail of destruction in its wake that you no doubt saw images of. The recovery effort still has a long, long way to go, and that won't come as a surprise to you at all, I'm sure. If it's been a while, though, since you heard about the damage there, I'll just refresh your memory. The storm affected 14 million people. That's two-thirds of Australia. It displaced 4 million of them. It's like one of our major states. The death toll is close to 6,000, more than 1,700 others still unaccounted for. In Tacloban, there are 30 bodies that are being recovered each day. Get an update on how the recovery effort is going. I'm joined now by Tim Walsh, a project leader from the United Nations Development Program in the Philippines. He's currently in Panay Island, and he's about to head to Tacloban. Tim, thank you very much for speaking to us. Before we get to Tacloban, where you're going, what's the situation like in Panay?
Panay is actually a lot further west than Tacloban, and so therefore the storm wasn't quite as strong as when it got here. There are still there were a couple of million people that were affected here. There's still significant damage, but a lot less than the total destruction you see in Tacloban and in the province of Samar.
So what sort of damage are we talking about?
Here you're talking about partial damage to buildings. There are roofs ripped off, trees fell. And some damage to infrastructure such as schools and hospitals.
A huge amount of oil was spilt there, though. I imagine that's causing lots of problems.
That is, and I've been down having a look at that today, in fact. There was a 10-megawatt power station at the barge that was anchored next to the port of Estancia, and it was the storm was so strong it ripped it from its moorings and rammed it into the coastline and punctured most of the fuel tanks, and about 800,000 litres leaked out, and it's contaminated quite a wide area of beach and led to the evacuation of about 600 families from their homes.
Yeah, 800,000 litres, it's almost unthinkable. Let's think about Tacloban, though, because that was the worst hit island. Have you spoken to your colleagues about how recovery's going there?
I only left there 2 days ago. In fact, I was there on the 8th, which was the anniversary, and was invited along by the mayor to the remembrance service that they had. Things there are still pretty tough, and I'm heading back in there tomorrow. And the most urgent need, certainly in my area, is the waste management program that we're doing there at the moment.
Tell us about the program.
Well, it's basically we've still got in Tacloban City sort of probably about a million meter cubic of waste and debris from damaged and destroyed housing. Put that in perspective, you can understand if you imagine a football field. Stack it 10 metres high with waste and then multiply that by 10. That gives you an idea of the amount of waste and debris we've got.
How do you even go about cleaning that up?
We're using a combination of heavy equipment and casual work. So we have heavy equipment both from the government side, from the international community side, and from the city hall. But it's a huge task.
I understand you're using a team of locals, or you're trying to hire locals into the service of this recovery effort. Is that helping?
It is. I mean, we use our heavy equipment, which we mostly try and source locally and local people through a cash for work program. And that basically, it addresses a number of points all at the same time. It gives people a bit of dignity, some work to do. It injects money into the economy, which helps start the economy and keep it going. And enables us to clear some waste and give them something to do so they're not thinking about the disaster all the time.
Yeah, and there's that human response to the disaster that's so important. Is there anything normal about life in the Philippines now? I mean, when you have a disaster like this and the cameras have moved on and it's no longer in the headlines, does life even begin to return to normal by this stage?
In many respects, it does. Even in the downtown area of Tacloban City, some businessmen are coming back now. Restaurants are open. You can have a semblance of normality. There's still no power. So at night time, it's dark. It's eerie. But you can go out, and people are trying to have as normal a life as they can. You go two blocks away, and you know you're in total destruction again, and people trying to cobble together temporary shelters out of planks of wood and other bits and pieces they can find. So it's a city of contrast, but there is some sense of normalcy returning. The markets are open now. There's food in the markets, fresh vegetables. I even had my first potato the other day and most people obviously eat rice here, but to find fresh vegetables has been quite a pleasure.
Yeah, well, the small pleasures, I suppose. You've got to enjoy them, don't you? And given that the media's moved on, how are the locals feeling? Do they feel like the world has moved on, or do they feel the presence of international support?
I think they still feel the presence of international ports, and they see it. We've got 1,000 in Tacloban. There's 1,000 Japanese soldiers off and Navy ships offshore. The Koreans are about to arrive here in Rojas in Panay Island. The Canadians are here, and there's quite a large presence of the British just left yesterday. And there's, you see a lot of the international community's cars going around on the streets, and you still see some of the government resources from outside of the particular province still assisting the people. So I don't think they feel abandoned by any sense.
All right, well, that's good to hear. Safe travels, Tim, and all the best with your work.
Likewise with you.
Tim Walsh, project leader from the United Nations Development Program in the Philippines.